Psalm 23, 1 through 4, I read this week about a man that really liked to read all sorts of different books, and he said, if I had to make a choice between all the books that I've read and the 23rd Psalm, if I had to choose one to keep and have to get rid of all the rest, he said, I would choose the 23rd Psalm. So let's stand together, please, as we honor the Word of God, just the first four verses for our scripture reading. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Father, thank you for letting us be here tonight. I believe we're here again by divine appointment. I believe you have something special and specific for each person that's here. And so I pray that we'd work at it tonight to get it. I know some of us are a little tired tonight. It's going to be a little bit harder, but I pray that with the determination that and a will that you give us, that we'd listen and we'd get tonight what you have for us. I pray if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus, tonight would be the night they decide to receive him. Most here tonight are Christians, and so I pray you'd speak to us and encourage us, do in our life what you know needs to be done. Help us to listen and to learn and to do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Familiar psalm, one that you've read probably many times. Many of you probably have memorized parts of it, if not all of it. But this is a psalm that's used at many funerals and at times of grief. It's a psalm that's dried many tears, provided much comfort, and supplied hope in times of hopelessness. And it's a song of a perfect trust. Notice what David says in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. It's a positive faith. It's a trust that's built on experience. I read one time, and I've mentioned this too before, a little girl was quoting this psalm, and she said, the Lord is my shepherd, that's all I want. The Lord is my shepherd, that's all I want. And if he is our shepherd, that's all we need. We don't need to worry, we don't need to fret, we don't need to be anxious about anything. Because not that we're sure of ourselves, not that we're sure of other people, not that we're even sure of our closest friends. What we're sure of is our God. He's a God that can be depended upon. We sang that song tonight, Standing on the Promises of Christ My King. God, he's never broken a promise. He's kept his word. Every time he's told us he was going to do something, he's done it. And when he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you, if I go, I'll doubtless come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That's the surest promise as anyone that he's made us. As you notice, the psalm is divided into two parts. The first part, verses 1 through 4, picture our Savior as a shepherd. And then in verses 5 and 6, it pictures him as a host. Somebody that provides a place of refuge, somebody that pours out kindness on his guest. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Remember that story about that lady that was worried. She came to her pastor one day, and she said, there's two men follows me everywhere I'm going. I have no idea who they are. But every place I go, these two guys are following me. Well, the pastor checked it out, and there wasn't anybody following her in actuality, but she came back in after a couple weeks and said, they're still there. Those two guys are following me. And he says, I found out who they are. They're goodness and mercy. And they're going to follow you wherever you go. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want to stay in the first four verses tonight. I want to dwell on that thought that's repeated three times in verses 2, 3, and 4. That thought that he leadeth me. He leadeth me. And I want to mention three places tonight where the good and great shepherd leads us. Number one, he leads us into joy. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. The best place that you can be as a sheep, as a lamb following the shepherd, is in the green pastures beside the still waters. A sheep won't drink out of waters that are flowing. It has to be still waters. So the best place a sheep can be is in a green pasture beside the still water. And that pictures what God does for us. He leads us into that place of joy. He leads us into that pleasant place. He leads us into that place that's best for us. Sometimes we get our scales out of balance. Sometimes we fail to look at the joyous things that He puts in our life, and we get our eyes on the trials and the troubles that come into our life, and if we're not careful, we focus so much on those things, and the scale that we have in our life goes down like this, or like the girl's side did every night in Bible school this week, except for one, because they had the offering that weighs the most. But sometimes when we put it on our scales, if we're not careful, we'll exaggerate the trials, and we'll exaggerate the sorrows, and we'll exaggerate the troubles that come into our life, and we'll forget all the joy that God has put in our life, and we won't look at it, and we won't notice it, because we got our eyes too much on the sorrows. I want to remind you tonight, the joy that God gives us always outweighs the sorrows. The joy that God brings into our life and gives us day after day will far outweigh any sorrow or trial or trouble that comes into our life. The blue of the heaven far exceeds the clouds. Now you stop and think about it. I know some days every place that we can see is covered with clouds. But I've taken off on those days, and you know what? You can always get above the clouds and see a blue sky. And even when it's cloudy in Michigan, as it oftentimes is, we can still go places and we can see the blue of the heaven, because the blue of the heaven far outweighs any clouds that are in the sky. And the joy that God gives us far outweighs the sorrows He allows to come into our life. I don't have time to mention them all tonight. I want to mention some. You ought to get joy out of the home that God has given you. You ought to get joy out of the family that God has given you. We get joy from the friends that God has put in our life. We ought to get joy by just going out and looking at the beauty of the earth that God has made. We ought to get joy because we feel His presence. I don't know about you, but I felt His presence this morning. In a strong and mighty way, I felt the presence of God moving in our service. And I enjoy the peace that God gives us. All those things come from the Good Shepherd, and He leads us into those things. He leads us and He makes us lie down in those green pastures. We sang that song, the choir sang it. I haven't sung this one for a while, Dick, so maybe we can put this one on the list of songs to sing. That song that goes, "This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me." I'm singing, Adam. "This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. Oh, this joy." See him turning red back there? "This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it." And the world can't take it away. It can't, because it didn't give it to me in the first place. God did. There's another little chorus that we sometimes sing. "I have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Full of glory, full of joy. 'Tis joy unspeakable and full of glory. The half has never yet been told." And some of you might say tonight, "Well, hey, wait a minute, preacher. You don't know my situation. My home's a mess. My family doesn't care about me. I got no friends. It's always cloudy. The sun is never shining. I don't feel the presence of God, and I got no peace." Well, let me talk to you tonight. Are you saved? If you're saved, you got a Savior that loves you. If you're saved, you got a Savior that left heaven and died in your place on Calvary. If you're saved, you got a Savior in heaven tonight that's preparing a place for you with a promise that if He's preparing a place for you, He'll doubtless come again and get us so that we can be where He is. And I join the songwriter and say to you that have no that seemingly have no joy in your life. You can't see any good things that God's put in your life because we got the troubles and we got the trials. I say to you with the songwriter tonight, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. It will. And the joy that we will have when we come into His presence, and the joy that we will have when we look upon His face, will far outweigh any trouble that we have in our life down here. So He leads us into joy. Number two, He leads us into righteousness. "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." You ever stop and think about this? Every place that God leads us, He has a holy purpose for it. every place. He doesn't lead you any place he doesn't have a purpose for. He's got a purpose for us. And his purpose is to make us more like Jesus, who is tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. So God leads us to that place of righteousness, the straight and narrow way, as the Bible calls it. I'd point out to you tonight, that way is not always attractive. That way is often hard and steep. It's often difficult. Sometimes, I've heard people talk about it, it feels like God's just taking a piece of sandpaper and rubbing on me. Or it sometimes, and some of you are probably too young for this, but I can remember helping my grandmother do clothes, and she had one of these old round washers, and on the top of it, there was a wringer. And you'd take the clothes, would wash, and then you'd put them through the wringer. And I know some of you are just way too, Chris, you're way too young to know what I'm talking about, but you stones? Okay, you got me. But you put it through the wringer before you hang them on the clothesline. And sometimes that's the way it feels, that he's just putting us through that wringer, squeezing everything that's in us out. Sometimes it just feels like you're taking a hammer or saw and getting to us. But he has a purpose for every place that he leads us. And I want you to remember something tonight. When he leads us into those places where he's trying to teach us to be righteous, when he leads us into those places where he's trying to get us to notice things in our life that shouldn't be there, when he leads us into those places where he's trying to get our attention so that we'll pay more attention to him, he says, I'll be with you. You can't lead somebody unless you're with them. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. So keep pressing on. Keep going upward. And God will lead us to that place that he wants us to be. I was thinking, I think on Thursday night, you know, one of the things I like about Bible school is I have all these little kids that they just want to be around me. You probably have that, Brother Clinton Jr. Church. They just want to be around you. I mean, They'll come up here at the beginning and they'll just sort of hang around, and I'll go get stuff, you know, ready for the games, and they'll just hang around. And I was thinking Thursday night on the way home, the greatest compliment a child can give a parent is to say, I want to be like you when I grow up. The greatest compliment a student can give a teacher is to say, I want to be like you. The greatest compliment an apprentice can give a craftsman is to say, I want to be just like you. And I think the greatest joy that we can give to God is to say, I want to be just like Jesus. David said in one of the Psalms, I won't, and again, he didn't say it exactly like this, but here's what he was saying is, I won't be satisfied until I wake with his likeness. I won't be satisfied until I can be exactly like him. And he leads us in that path of righteousness. And then number three, he leads us through the valley. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Talked a little bit in Sunday school about it this morning. Started studying the life of Joseph. The trials that Joseph went through with his brothers. We talked about it on Wednesday night. And sometimes God puts us in valleys. Sometimes God puts us into the darkness or the shadows of life. And if we had our choice, we would never choose to go there. Now, I want you to make a mental checklist in your mind with me just for the next few minutes. I'm going to mention some things that you'll have on the left side of this checklist, and then you'll have a column that says yes and no. And as I mention these things, I want you to put a check mark in your mind, either in the column of yes or the column of no. Okay? You with me? Everybody with me? Nod your head so I can hear it. Okay, good. You're with me. All right, here's the first item. Cancer. Cancer. Put your check mark. Yes or no? Heart problems. Yes or no? Ruptured disc. We have a young lady in our church that has a ruptured disc. Doctors have told her she's going to have an operation. She's either going to be fixed or she's going to be paralyzed. And they don't give her much hope of being fixed. But yes or no, would you pick that? Unemployment. Yes or no? Death of a loved one. Yes or no? A child that leaves home and you don't know where he is. Yes or no? Now, I'd almost be sure that every single person here, if you could choose, you would choose no to every single one of those items. I mean, we wouldn't put a check in the yes column. We wouldn't want that. And if we were filling it out for somebody we loved, we'd surely mark every one of those things that I've mentioned. No, 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 no. Just like Noah wouldn't have chosen the flood if he had a choice. Just like Daniel wouldn't have chose the lion's den if he had a choice. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego wouldn't have chose the fiery furnace if they had a choice. Just like Paul wouldn't have chose the beatings or the stonings or the shipwrecks if he had a choice. But I wish we could, and someday we'll get this choice or this opportunity. I wish we could talk to Noah tonight and ask this question. Noah, when did you feel the closest to God? I think his answer would be, I felt the closest to God when he shut the door on the ark and it started to rain. Daniel, when did you feel the closest to God? I felt the closest to God when they threw me in the lion's den and they put that stone on the door. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when did you feel the closest to God? We felt the closest to God when we landed in the bottom of that fiery furnace and somebody was there and met us. Paul, when did you feel the closest to God? When I was being beat, when I was being stoned, when I suffered shipwreck. I think if you talk to people here, and if you'd asked Millie or Tim or others that have fought cancer, when did you feel the closest to God? It's right in the middle of your fight. Right in the middle of your fight. I think if you'd asked Brother Clint or Brother Earl, who've had heart surgery, when did you feel the closest to God? Right in the middle of it. Right in the middle of it. You see, the times that we feel the closest to God is not when we're way up on the mountaintop and everything's going good. The times when we feel the closest to God is when he's leading us through the valleys. You see, the Bible says that, and God promises this, he says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And when we get saved, part of God, the Holy Spirit, moves in. He lives with us forever. I mean, he's there. We get all the Holy Spirit. We talked about this a few weeks ago. When we get saved, we get all the Holy Spirit we're going to get. Now, we got to keep yielding to him so that he can get more of us. But we get all of him the moment we get saved. So he's with us every moment of every day. But when everything's going good and we're living up here on top of the mountain and all our bills are paid and we're healthy and everything's sort of coming up roses, we sort of take them for granted. But when the doctor says, hey, we got a little problem on this test, or it looks like you're going to have surgery, or the problems and the trials come, that's when we notice God. And that's when we feel the closest to him. He leadeth me into joy, into righteousness, and through the valleys. Listen as the songwriter says it. He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, whate'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. Sometimes mid seams of deepest gloom, sometimes when Eden's bowers bloom. Let me stop just for a second. Anybody know what a bower is? I don't either. I'm going to have to go home and look up that word. I've sung that song hundreds of times. I have no idea what the word bowers mean. I think it must mean something good. Sometimes mid seams of deepest gloom, sometimes when Eden's bowers bloom, I say it means something good because the next line says, by waters still over troubled seas, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. Lord, I would clasp thy hand in mine, nor ever murmur nor repine, content whatever lot I see, since 'tis my God that leadeth me. And when my time on earth is done, when by thy grace the victory's won, in death's cold wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me. By his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. Aren't you glad that we got a good shepherd that will lead us? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the simple reminders that are in the Bible of how much you love us and what you do for us. You lead us every day. Sometimes we don't notice, and sometimes we take it for granted. But you lead us where you want us to go. And you have a purpose for every place that you take us. Into joy, into sorrow, into trials. On the mountains, through the valleys. You have a purpose for every place you take us. And I pray tonight, Father, that we not only notice that leadership, but we'd thank you for it. We'd praise you for it. And every place that you take us, we'd ask the question, why am I here? What are you trying to teach me? How are you trying to get me to grow? And that, Father, we not pass up an opportunity for you to make us more like Jesus. I pray tonight, if there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ, tonight they decide to receive him. I pray tonight for the Christians that you've spoken to that need to do something. Maybe some for baptism. Maybe some for church membership. Maybe some for something special. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd speak to us. We'd listen, we'd be obedient, and we'd do what you tell us to do. Bless the time of invitation. Use it as you see fit. Help us, again, to be obedient. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.